الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، رحمة للعالمين، أبي القاسم محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. The topic that was announced, which was actually not something that I had decided, it was announced as the characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wassalam, and also the role of kids in the revolution or in the inqilab or in the journey of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, in regards to the topic, we didn't get too much of chance to go into too much detail because I tried in the second majlis to go into a little bit of details about the characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wassalam, but I saw that the audience was not ready to listen about jihad. They were not ready to listen about martyrdom. They were not ready to listen about sacrifice. They were not ready to listen about pain and suffering for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not ready to listen to about putting a voice against oppression, about standing on your two feet and standing your ground when you know that you are on the truth and you are on the right path, even if all atrocity, even if all the forces, 30,000, 40,000 enemies stand against you, you still stand your ground. And then we decided that the rest of the majlises that we're going to be talking about, maybe we need to prepare the hearts and minds and the souls of the audience so that we can come to a point where we can discuss these characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wassalam. But obviously 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or 5 days is not going to be enough in which we will be able to be ready to talk about jihad or martyrdom or, you know, putting your voice against oppression or taking the hardships and pains for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, for the effort that we put in, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the opportunity to be able to continue. And inshallah, maybe after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40, 50, 60, 100, if efforts are put in by the elders, by the parents, and by the scholars who come here, by the people who come and speak in front of you about Islam, if their efforts are there, maybe after 60, 70, 80, 100 years, we will be ready to talk about those characteristics of the companions of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though 1400 years have passed of the martyrdom, of the sacrifice of Karbala, yet in the last 1400 years, it seems that we're still not ready to talk about these topics openly and the way that Islam projects it or sees it or defines it or accepts it, which is actually a big loss for us. It is a وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. It is a big loss for us. And if we continue on the same path, then these youths that we have in front of us will also continue on the same path that you have been continuing on. And maybe another 1400 years will go by and still we will not be ready to talk about these subjects. So what I urge you, I mean, if you want, I can still talk about it. We still have maybe 1 hour with you. This is the last majlis that we're going to have. No, right? Salawat. So let's talk about a general. One of the sisters gave the speech. What is Islam? We say that Islam was in danger. And Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam saved it. Meaning imagine that there was a train coming and Islam was on the tracks. And Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, his companions and the Prophet's family threw themselves in front of the train to protect that Islam that was in danger. When they did that, they made the utmost and the most honorable and the highest sacrifice that any human being did for any cause. Meaning, give you an example, if the train is coming and the daughter is there and the mother is there, the mother goes in front of the train, protects the daughter for any cost. This particular event, when it is said, it will be that the mother sacrificed herself, the headlines would be, the mother sacrificed herself to save the life of her daughter. Now, if we say that Islam was in danger, well, we have to try to see that what was this danger that Islam was in? Was Islam, was Salah in danger? Was Namaz in danger? Was it that if Imam Hussain did not sacrifice himself, his companions and the Prophet's family, that is, Namaz would have been out. Nobody would be praying Namaz. Was it that the fasting, was it Hajj? Was it Tawalla? Was it Tabarra? Was it Zakat? Was it Khums? Out of the fruit of Islam, what was the thing that was in danger? Was it that if Imam Hussain did not sacrifice himself, that just the fruit would have been in danger? Or was it that if he was not going to sacrifice himself, his companions and the family of the Prophet, that the Asul-e-Din would have been in danger? Or was it that if Imam Hussain did not sacrifice himself, that Akhlaq would have been in danger? We have to think about that. And the conclusion is this. If Imam Hussain did not sacrifice himself, his companions and the family of the Prophet, the thing that was in danger that he saved was Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. That was the thing that he saved. By saving Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, Namaz was saved. With me? Fasting was saved. Hajj was saved. Tawalla was saved. Tabarra was saved. Zakat was saved. Khums was saved. Tawheed was saved. Nubuwwat was saved. Imamat was saved. Ma'ad was saved. Adl of Allah was saved. And all of the bad habits, and to get them out and to acquire good habits, and muzayyin, and to beautify your soul, was also saved. Imam Hussain says that Amr ibn Ma'ruf wal Munkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, he made it an obligation because he knew that if Amr ibn Ma'ruf wal Munkar is there, all of the wajibat, the ones, the obligations, the ones that are easy or the ones that are hard will be performed. Yani if Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahi Munkar is performed, all of the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether these obligations obligations happen to be easy or hard, will be performed. But if Amr bin Ma'ruf and Munkar is not done, then neither the hard nor the easy obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be performed. He also said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as an obligation to do Amr bin Ma'ruf and Munkar so that the money, the Baytul Maal, the money of the Muslims will be able to be spread out and given to the needy and the poor that are deserving of it. So that this Baytul Maal, the millions and millions and millions and millions of dirham, will not be used for personal gain. It will not be used to build castles and castles and have bank accounts that will take months to count. It will be used as was used in the 4 years and 9 months of the government of Imam Ali ﷺ, where Baytul Maal was used so properly that there was no one asking for anything. They were not begging for food. That everybody in their houses had food, had the basic necessities of life, only in 4 years and 9 months. Because Imam Ali ﷺ did Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. So what we understand from this little conclusion is that really in Karbala what was saved was the head of Islam. Imagine a body without a head. Would this body without a head do anything? If you take my head off, can I speak?
No.
If I'm still speaking, that would be probably a very big miracle. Can I do anything? Can I take a plane and go back home and see my kids? No. I will be dead. And in Ahadith, it has been said that Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar is the head of the body of Islam. If the head is cut, then Islam cannot do anything, even if there are 1 billion of them. Even if there are so many of these Muslims around an occupied land called Palestine, and even if they were all around it, and if they were to come out of their houses and only drop one bucket of water outside, that the occupation will end, they will still not do it. He started talking about those things that we are not ready to talk about. That even though there will be 1 billion individuals, but they will not be able to help the 20 million individuals whose houses were lost in a flood, who are asking for help, but these 1 billion individuals are not helping them. They have to look towards those people who do not have Islam, who are polytheists, who are the one who are putting the Muslims in the conditions that we are in today, they will be looking at their hands. That if the head of that body is not there, it will only be a religion which will stand in the saf of Christianity and Judaism. When the head is not there and the body is there, it will stand, Islam will stand in the saf of monotheistic religions, which if you Google and ask Sheikh Google has the most mukallideen in the world, more than any other marja. Everybody is doing ruju, they are going to Sheikh Google to ask questions. It's the task to Sheikh Google. And whatever fatwa Sheikh Google gives, the Muqalladeen follow. Even if Quran is saying the opposite. Even if Quran is saying something else, if Sheikh Google has said it, it must be true. If the head is not there, religion will stand in the stuff of monotheistic religions like Jews and Christians. Islam is not of that stuff. Ya Allah. Islam is not in to be standing with the Christianity and Judaism. It is not worthy of standing in this stuff. It is like when we stand Imam Ali Rasulullah in the saf that he's not supposed to be standing. You understand saf? Row? Line? When we make Imam Ali Rasulullah to stand in that line where he's not supposed to be standing, there is no comparison. And we make him stand in that line, and then we show that look how great Imam Ali is when you look at this, 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 this. If you want to have Imam Ali stand, bring shuja'at. Bring your shuja'at, bring your brave men. Bring your patient men. Bring your forbearant men. Bring your worshippers. Bring those individuals who are submerged in the love of Allah and have this line and then see Imam. When you put him in that line, you will see the greatness of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But first, you have to understand who is a brave man. First, you have to understand who is a brave man. A man came to Imam Ali alayhi salam. He said, Ya Ali. I am confused. I'm not sure which way to go. On the one side, I have the companions, I have the, you know, great personalities of Islam. On the other side, I have you. I am not sure where to turn, whether to go right or whether to go left. I'm not sure which party to join. Can you help me? Imam said to that individual, first, find out what the truth is. Know what the truth is. Once you find what the truth is, then take this sancha, take this measuring scale, and then measure the personalities in it, and whichever personality fits in it, follow it. The person understood. He understood the truth. After he understood the truth, he took the personalities and he only saw Al-Ali ma'a al-Haq wa al-Haq ma'a al-Ali. So know the truth first. The first thing you have to do is know the truth. So Islam is not of that saf, or it's not of that line of Christianity or Judaism. Islam stands in a separate line. When does it stand in a separate line? When its head is there. If its head is cut off, yani Amr bin Maruf and Munkar is cut off, it will not stand in that line. And what is that line? That line is called the system of life which will create the representatives of Allah on this earth. A factory through which if someone goes through, the end product would be the representative of Allah in the end. Or give you, because you're students, Islam is that university through which when a person enters, at the end he gets the degree of the representative of Allah. Are you with me? When you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, have you become a Muslim? If you become a Muslim, then that Islam is the same stuff as Christianity and Judaism. When you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, you've just gotten admission. With me? When you finish your high school, you go and you apply to the universities. The universities accept you and they tell you that you are accepted to come and study in this university. Do you become happy? Are you happy? Yes or no?
Yes.
You are happy because you got, let's say you got in Harvard. Is this like a big university, Harvard?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cambridge? Unfortunately, they are the worst kind of universities in the world. But because of our being whitewashed brains and souls, we consider them to be the best universities in the world. The best university in the world is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa Aliyun Waliullah. Because when you enter into that university, in the end you become a representative of Allah. When you get into Harvard and Cambridge, in the end you become an animal, which is a lawyer, a doctor, and an engineer. They don't produce human beings. Those universities do not produce human beings. They produce animals who have self-interest, who are based to get as much as possible and do whatever their hearts desire so that they can earn $200,000, $500,000 a year and they can have massive houses so that they can get into castles and people can come in shacks. So that they can use the 80% of the natural resources of the world and the rest of the people don't even get 20%. So when you get admission, you are happy that you got into the best university. Guess what happens afterwards? You go through the studies. You say, in the studies you say, God is one. This is the first lesson. And the last lesson. God is one. Everything in Islam is about Tawheed. Everything. Namaz is about Tawheed. Roza is about Tawheed. Fasting, Hajj, Khums, Zakat, Jihad. Amr bin Marwan bin Munkar, Tawalla Tabarra, Nabubat, Imamat, Qiyamat, Adlilahi. All of them are the explanation of Tawheed. Tawheed al-ibadah, Tawheed in worship. These are the lessons of university. And if these are new things to you, I don't know which university you've been in, but the university I know, these are the texts and these are the courses. The text of that university is Quran. The text of that university is Quran and the teachers are 14. The professors and the teachers are 14. And they teach you about that text. Tawheed in worship. You came to the center for what? For the azan of Imam Hussain. The azan of Imam Hussain, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if it is done sincerely for the sake of Allah to gain nearness to Him, is a worship. Qurbatan in Allah. But if you came to this center because your mom forced you, this is not worship. If you came to this center because if you do not show up, maybe the Maulana will ask you the next day, where were you? It's not worship. If you came to the center because someone has sponsored the majlis, it's not worship. If you came to the center because today they would be serving food, it's not? By the way, they're not serving food. If anybody was hungry, I don't think there's food. If you came to the center for any other reason than gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not worship. That worship is not for the sake of Allah. In Tawheed, it's called shirk. In Tawheed, it's not called ibadah, it's called shirk. Polytheism. Mushrik. Like Christianity, Judaism, mushrik. Why? Because that person put a partner with Allah. When they were supposed to come only for the sake of Allah, they came for the sake of someone. With me or no? Someone else. If I was to stand and pray so that I can show you how good I can recite, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Right? I'll stop there. If I was to stand in front of you and recite so that you can know how good my qiraat is, this namaz is not called namaz, it's called shirk, and I get off of the musalla as a mushrik. If you come here in front of the audience and you recite and know how other than for the sake of Allah, it's not worship, it is shirk. If I give you this speech for the sake of you, it is shirk. It is not worship. In Tawheed, there is Tawheed dar worship, there is Tawheed dar sifat, there is Tawheed dar af'al, there is Tawheed dar zat. These are the lessons of the University of Islam. Where are we? You know where we are? We are in kindergarten. A is for? Apple. Asan. B is for? What is the kindergarten of Islam? The kindergarten of Islam is, if someone was to ask you, can you give me any proofs that there is only one God? What do you say? Sorry, I don't know how many, I don't know any proofs. My mom and dad told me that there is only one God. Can you give me any proofs that there is a need for prophethood, that the prophet is the last prophet, and that, can you tell me about that? My nana told me that there was a prophet 1400 years ago and he was the last prophet. That's what I know. Yani, if that individual is following the religion of their forefathers, they are stuck in kindergarten. And this kindergarten, humanity has been stuck for the last 8 or 9,000 years since Hazrat Adam a.s. landed on this earth. Every prophet would come, Hazrat Ibrahim a.s., Hazrat Nuh a.s., Hazrat Yusuf a.s., Hazrat Isa a.s., they would come and say that this is the religion. They would say, sorry, this is not the religion, this is not Islam. Islam is what our forefathers have been following and we are not going to accept. Given this objection. If I come and tell you these things are part of Islam and you come and say that my forefathers didn't tell me, guess what? We're still in
kindergarten.
And kindergarten in Islam is not acceptable. When you have 124,000 prophets' teachings compiled in the Quran, in the miracle, the biggest miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on any prophet and gave in the hands of any nation, you cannot be stuck in kindergarten. Do you have the asafas of Musa? You sometimes wish you did, right? You could go in front of the ocean, tuck, in the ocean parks, and you can tickets. Who wants to see the ocean park? Give me $1 million. Line up over there. You'll be very much happy for that. Because you can use it, you can become rich. Or if you have the miracle of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, everybody would never let any of their loved ones go. This world would get overpopulated to the point where there would be no space left. Mother gone, touch, get up. Father gone, touch, get up. They will not let anyone die. This is kindergarten. Quran has the ability to part the oceans. Quran has the ability for you to walk on water. Quran has the ability to make a dead come back to life. Surah Al-Hamd, if it is recited by the pure soul, by the pure tongue, can make a dead come back to life. And because we're still stuck in kindergarten, we recited on the dead and no one has ever gotten up. But if it was recited by a graduate of the University of Islam who was a representative of Allah, if it recited Surah Al-Hamd on the dead, it would come up. What do we do with that Quran, which is the miracle that can do all? What do we do with it? It would be nice if we read. What we do is we put it in a gulaf, in a cupboard, and on the top shelf of the house. And that's it. There was a apartment building, the Maulana went to it, and he asked for the Quran. The person replied, "I'm sorry, we don't have Quran in our house." Maulana said, "You don't have Quran in your house?" He said, "No, we don't." "How come?" He said, "Because on this other upper level, there's a Hindu who lives. And we do not wish to disrespect Quran by having Quran in our house and Hindu walking on top of it. Because it would be a disrespect to Quran that the Hindu's feet are above Quran, we are not going to keep it in our house." What have we done with this miracle? In the University of Islam, there are tests. Okay, so now you read Quran, you read certain verses, now we're going to test you. What is the test? We will see if you can give in the way of Allah. You have $1,000? Give 500 out. You can't give it, you fail in the test. You failed. You can't give money in the way of Allah. I gave you money. It's my money. Allah's money is given to you and He says, "Give it back to me. If you give it back to me, I will give you a reward 10 times, 70 times, bigger than that." What do you say? "I'm going to keep it." Have you passed in your exam?
Yes.
No. You would have passed in your exam. For example, for you little kids, if you happen to have a toy and a brother comes to your house and says, "Can I share your toy?" And that if you share, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be happy, and you don't share, you failed in your test. If you don't share your toys, it is good to share, to be generous, you failed in your test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Okay, I will test you with your health. I will give you cancer. After having cancer, will you still obey me? Will you still be thankful to me? Would you still have a smile on your face? Would you still be coming to me and asking for shafa, for me, for you to get better?" You say, "If you give me cancer, I will complain to you till the end of the life that I have. If I have 6 months to live, I will be complaining for all 6 months, every single minute." You failed in your
test.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I will test you with poverty." You lost your job, you got laid off, you got fired. What are you going to do now? Complain, get into stress, depression, nervous breakdown? If you do, then you what?
Failed
in your test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I will ask you, I will put you in front of an oppressor. I will get you in the country of the oppressor. You will get your immigration, I will give you the immigration, you will come in the country of an oppressor. You will come in the country of non-Muslims and I will test you if you become the ambassador of Islam. If you do not become an ambassador of Islam in a non-Islamic country, you failed your test. I will put you in front of the oppressor and I will test you to see if your voice, if your tongue opens up of the oppression that has been happening. If you're scared to open your tongue, you have lost, failed your
test.
Even though you had those teachers who were in the darbar of Yazid, who were in the court of Yazid with their hands tied, their hair open, having to see the atrocities of Karbala, being mentally stressed, being physically abused, with bruises and stones. And they stood up in front of the oppressor of the time in the court of Yazid. Do you not have that example? Are you more? Do you have more restrictions than the restrictions that Bibi Zainab had? Are you more restricted as Bibi Zainab was? If she can speak in front of that tyrant, why can't you? You failed your test. I will give you the system of life, of economics, of socialism, of what? What else is isms? Socialism? Economism? No. Social structure, economic structure, what else? Infrastructure? What are there? Government structure, marriage structure, house structure, job structure. I will give you every single structure that you can call structure, and I will see if you follow that structure. I will give you the desire to get married, and then I will see who you get married to. If you will get married to that woman who will become the mother of those kids who will be raised as the soldiers of the 12th Imam, or you will get married to that woman who will raise those people who would have the principles of Yazid in their hearts. Love of this world, love of riyasat, love of position, no sharing, no generosity, no submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No worship. Yazid did not worship, by the way. There was no worship on his part. He said that there was no religion that came. It was only a game that Bani Hashim played to be able to gain power. And I will revenge. I have revenged for the blood that was shed of my forefathers in the battles that were fought in. And today we say that he worshiped, he didn't worship. Is this what we're going to raise? I will make you a father, I will make you a mother. Every single thing that you do in your life is a test. In the University of Islam. What did we do with our government structure that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the government structure? Can somebody tell me who are in the University of Islam? Can you tell me what is the government structure that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the government structure? You want to think? You want to come back the next week? Reply by email? The government structure that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Man kuntu mawla fahaza aliyun mawla. This is the government structure of Islam. This is not the spiritual leadership of Islam. It is the government structure of Islam. Where we differ, where we stand our ground is that Islam's government structure was supposed to be given and the rule was supposed to be given to the Imam al-Masum. He was supposed to be the one to govern all. We believe this or no? That Imam al-Masum would have to be appointed by Allah, who's going to lead and govern all of Muslim Ummah. And everybody would have to submit to his will. Is this our government structure? I'm talking about someone else's government structure. Is this ours or no? Then why do we say that Islam and politics are separate? When the government structure is called imamat, then how can Islam be separate from siyasat? Imagine a world, and I'm almost done. Because you know how difficult it is to keep on saying the same things over and over again? and to tell you what the truth is and have no one or very little people wake up? You know how hard it is to continue forward? You know how hard it is to continue forward while you are, your life becomes difficult? Imagine Hazrat Salman Farsi, rahmatullah alayh. Are you with me? It's very important. Hazrat Salman Farsi, rahmatullah alayh, you remember who he was? He was someone that the Holy Prophet said that he is from us. He is from us, he is from Ahl Bayt. He is the one that heaven is waiting for. For everyone else, they are waiting for heaven, and Salman Farsi is that being for whom heaven is waiting. When would he come in? Imagine for a second, the globalization has become successful. You know how they have the Global Day of Environment, Motherhood, the Global Day of Recycling, the Global Day of Cleaning Your Backyard, the Global Day of Spring Cleaning, the Global Day of this. Imagine that the whole globe has become a village and the globalization has become successful and the whole world is under one system. Let's call that system of Islam. Let's call that system of Islam. And the head of that government over the whole world is Hazrat Salman Farsi. Now what kind of world would we have? This world, would the money be misused? Or would the money be given to the people that are needy? With me? Would the money be given to the individuals who are really needy? Would there still be a person doing capitalism or hoarding and making castles where others go in shacks? No. Would there be anyone oppressing the other and there is nothing to be done to the oppressor? No. Would the oppressed have a voice? Yes. In that world which is governed by Hazrat Salman Farsi, there will be justice and peace. And now imagine that this globalization has become successful and the ruler is Yazid. With me or no? We're almost done. Imagine this globalization has become successful and the world now is under one government and the system is not Islam, but the system is liberal democracy. And the person sitting on the throne is Yazid. Guess what's happening in this world? Everybody's going to be listening to music. Everyone will be listening to music and the music will become the soul, the food of the soul. Why? Because he used to listen to music. Yes or no? The whole world will be listening to music. Muslims will be listening to music. Christians will be listening to music. Jews will be listening to music. Agnostics will be listening to music. Atheists will be listening to music. And every single person will be listening to music. Would there be Amr bin Maruf and Munkar? No. Would the money be spent wisely? No. In that world, 25% of the population would be using 80% of the natural resources of the world. More than 1 billion people will live for $1 a day. 179 million people will live for less than 50 cents a day. Every day, innocent lives will be killed, will be taken. You will see kids being killed. You will see women being killed. You will see old men being killed. You will see the people going to mosques being killed. You will see people in the prayers halls being killed, in Husaniyas being killed. You will see atrocity all around the world. And there will be no one who would put a voice against oppression. No one would say that, why, Yazid, are you killing innocent lives? Why are you hoarding? Why are you making people go in shacks? Why are you using 80% of the world's natural resources? Why is there no Amar bin Maruf and Munkar? Why people are only doing what their hearts desire? Why there is no Islam? If Islam is there, why is it only on the tongues of people, not in their hearts, not in their houses? Imam Hussain says that people are the slaves of this world, the religion is on the tip of their tongues. Whenever there are difficulties that come across them, they spit their religion out. Kallat dayanin. There are very few people who are religious. We have this right now. So you see now that the world has actually become global. We live in a village. There is only one system, and that is the system of Yazid. And the ruler of this system is Yazid, because the world we live in has all the qualities, all the principles, every single thing that Yazid stood for. He said there is no religion, the game, it was just a game that was played by Bani Hashim to gain power. Today Time magazine publishes an article with the top front page of their saying God is poison. MashaAllah. Look, all of the problems of the world is because of religion, and there, actually there is no religion that came. It was devised by someone who listened to MashaAllah of Shaitan. And that book can be published and given to everybody. And we're looking for the government of Hazrat Salmani Farsi Rahmatullah Alayhi. We don't want this government. Well, the 12th Imam before going made sure that you will have the conditions, the qualities, the characteristics of Salmani Farsi as the measuring scale to find a personality who fits this personality, fits these characteristics. As I just mentioned, you find the truth, take the personalities, take this sancha, take this measuring scale, and whichever personality fits into it, follow it. It's your rahbar. It's your leader. Which qualities? He must be shuja, he must be brave, he does not have to have a bi'at, an allegiance of any ta'ud or any oppressor in his neck. He should know what the affairs of the Muslim Ummah are. He should know what are the benefits for the Muslim Ummah and what are the nuqsan and the losses for the Muslim Ummah. He should have ijtihad, he should be a marja, he should have taqwa, he should have piety, he should not have the love of this world, he should protect himself from the world, he should have qanaat, contentment, he should not be looking for the asset of position, he should have all of these qualities. And if you find someone, make him as your rahbar, leader, give the legams, give the control of the government in that person's hands, so that you can practice for the coming of the 12th Imam. Do we have someone like that who lives in a way that he recently, about 4 or 5 years ago, got a fridge in his house? Before, he didn't even have a fridge. He was given a pocket full of, you know, rubies and gold and silver and so forth. He got 20,000 young men and women to be married, sold it. When they tried to make Muslims fight each other, he came in between, said, our unity is more important than anything else. Do not fight, be one. When they tried and tried and tried to have all the Muslims get up and okay, fight, he said, no. We are one, we do not fight with each other, we fight with our enemies. We need independence, we cannot be dependent on any other country, we need to manufacture our own goods. We need to have independent economic system, social system, the system of Islam. The checks and balances should be of Islam. And we will put a voice against oppression. And we will not be afraid of sanctions. We will not be afraid of people wanting to harm us. We will put our voice. And what do the Muslims do? They say, no, we don't want this rahbar as Salman Farsi's characteristics. We just want the Yazid. And we will be ruled by that. That is the reason why the 12th Imam will not come. Because he's not coming for you to be acceptable, for you to be ruled by Yazid. He's coming because you have to feel discomfort inside of your heart. You have to think of yourself as mustaz'af. And get up and say that I will not deal with this. I will not accept this. I do not want this injustice. I want justice and peace in this world. And if that happens, Imam will come, because that's what he's going to do. You see how far we are? 1200 years of punishment for us. Imam of the time not being with us. 300 million Shias around the world. What do we need? Can we pay our allegiance to someone like Yazid? No, Imam Hussain said, a person like me cannot pay my allegiance to someone like Yazid. So what did he do? He took a stand. And this is what we commemorate every year. We commemorate his stand against Yazidiyat. And we say that Hussain is zinda, Hussain is alive, and Yazid is dead, while it is the Why does our hearts not bleed the way they're supposed to bleed with the atrocities in the world? But they bleed when something is taken away from you. The little kids of Karbala, of Kufa and Sham, do you know the atrocities? There are a lot of sons of Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam. And these little kids of Imam Hassan were given in the hands of these mothers whose hands were tied. They were put on camels. They were running. And you know what happened? The mother saw the sons of Imam Hassan, the sons of the Holy Prophet, fall out of their hands from a running camel. Imagine a baby falls while the camel is running 15, 10 kilometers an hour, 5 kilometers an hour, is running very, very fast, and the mother's hands are tied and she can't hold on to the baby. The baby falls off of a camel. His young, fragile body falls on the sand. There are other camels who are coming in the line, and the mother has to watch that. And she has to watch it. That baby left in that sand, in that desert, no one there to help. No one's going to give milk. Who's going to save those babies? Nobody saved them. They died on their own. They died on their own. There was no one to save them. Their bodies just laid in Karbala. Their bodies laid in the way to Kufa. Without kafan, without ghusl, without anyone burying. The one little baby's grave that Imam Hussain did make with his mother. Imagine. Father and mother have a baby whose neck is severed by a three-head arrow. It's 6 months, right? Small baby. They can't really hold. It's a very small baby who was thirsty for 3 days. The lips are cut because of thirst. The tongue is blistered. here's a father digging in the sand to put his little baby in it. And the mother is watching. What was going on in the mother's heart? What was going on in the father's heart? Allah knows. But I know this much, if I was the father,